Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the end of July, and it was after worship. Pastor Brad walked up to Mark Vachon in the narthex of the church. Mark was he's a big guy, 6'4", solid. He works in the service department at the Buick GMC dealership in town and has for years. He usually works on the big GMC pickup trucks. Mark is bald on his head, but with a full, thick beard, and so it makes him look a little bit like a pirate. At least that's what Pastor Brad thinks. "Hey, Mark, do you have a minute?" Pastor Brad asked. "I have a question for you. Can I offer you some coffee?" He gestures over to the coffee pot that's set up for after worship. "I'll take some coffee," Mark said. "I even have a couple of minutes. It's my niece's birthday celebration today, but not until 3 this afternoon." So Brad got them both a cup of coffee, and then he gestured Mark into his office. "Come on in and have a seat." Mark sat down in the love seat in Brad's office, and he commented, "This is a whole lot better than a trip to the principal's office. This couch is actually kind of comfortable." "Well," Brad said, "this isn't the principal's office, and I like it when people are comfortable here because that makes them willing to come back again." "Now, Mark, I want to ask if you would be willing to help us out this year with one of our units for catechism class." Mark almost spit out his coffee. He frantically was looking about the room, then finally looked back at Pastor Brad, and he said, "Are you really asking me? Now, this isn't some kind of prank, is it?" "Mark, I would never prank someone with that kind of a request," Brad said. "It's too important for me to let you see that this request is genuine." "You know, Pastor, that's always the kind of vibe I get from you. You always try to be genuine. It's just that, how could you want someone like me? I know that we talked a little bit about my past, and so I wonder why you would want me to talk to catechism students." Brad smiled and said, "First of all, they asked for you. See, I always ask the first-year students if there's anyone that they would like to hear from in the next year, and your name came up. See, the way you read Psalm 22 at the end of the Maundy-Thursday worship, it really impressed some of the kids, and they don't really know you. And so they asked. You see, they've known most of the others who have done this talk in class, and some are even related to them, and one of the people I've used in the past has been their Sunday school teacher for years. But Mark, another reason I asked is because of that conversation we had about your past. I think that you would be a great person for them to hear from. Your story could be inspirational." Mark chuckled and said, "Yeah, it could also lead them to making all the wrong decisions like I did." Brad said, "I don't want you to inspire them to lives of crime, but rather to a life of faith. I'm really impressed by the huge strides that you have made even before I came here to St. Mary's. I think your story can help." Mark said, "Well, then I don't think you've heard enough of it. I know I told you that I used to be in a motorcycle club. We were the Nazgul, like out of the Lord of the Rings. We weren't the worst biker gang in town, but we were bad enough. And it was all the typical stuff with drugs and guns and women and stolen cars. I got my first education in car mechanics in the chop shop we ran. I'm not really proud of that. I know I told you some of that before, but in those days, I drank a lot. I used all sorts of drugs. I sold some. I would run down to Chicago to do pickups for the gang. I was a regular part of all of the criminal activities except for the guns. I never liked guns, and I'm big enough that nobody ever really asked me to do any of that. Well, Pastor, I wound up being investigated by the Joint Drug Task Force and by the Car Theft Squad. And they pinched me, and they had me dead to rights. I was cooling at the police station, demanding my phone call. And when they gave it to me, I called Cecil, the leader of the Nazgul. I had to leave a message. I told him that I was pinched and asked when they were going to come get me. See, I knew that the club had a lawyer on retainer and that he had gotten some of the senior leadership out of stuff like this. Well, no lawyer came. None of my brothers came. No one. I was important enough when I was useful, but now I was a liability and they cut me loose. That was a long night in holding. I wrestled with a lot of things. How I was living and the friends that I thought that I had and their reaction to all of this. I even began wondering what my mom would think of me if she was still around. You see, Pastor, my mom was a woman of spectacular faith. She brought all of us kids to church even when my dad wouldn't come. She helped us as she could and showed us what that kind of life was like. And then when I was in high school, she got cancer and was dead in 6 weeks. That kind of pushed me over the edge. But that night, in holding, I thought how my mom would be so disappointed. And so the next morning, I turned state's evidence, traded what I knew for a 3 to 5 year prison sentence. I did my 3, I got out, I never looked back. It was hard finding work, but eventually I did. And St. Mary's here has always been good to me. They didn't ask and they let me attend. That's why I think your request is just a little bit crazy. I'm a convicted felon and you want me to talk to middle schoolers. Crazy. Pastor Brad smiled. And then he said, it's no crazier than me being here as a pastor. Have you ever heard my call story, Mark? And Mark shook his head. Pastor Brad said, well, I grew up in Nebraska, in a small town filled with more cattle than people. We had the courthouse, a grocery store, 2 taverns, a general store, a couple of mom and pops, and a gas station at either end of town. It wasn't much, but it was what we had. Now, in my junior year of high school, that spring, I started hanging out with the bad element. They were the slackers. Listening to AC/DC and Led Zeppelin, drinking on the weekends and busting stuff up just to have something to do. It wasn't really where I had been before, but they seemed cool to me at the time. One night we were looking for a place to drink, walking along the railroad tracks, and we came across this old warehouse or barn or something. It was big and it was empty and it was run down, and so we went in. Now, we were not the first people to have done this because there was kind of a fire ring in the middle of the floor and some crates and an old couch and a chair to sit on. So we started a fire and we started drinking and talking, and one of the guys, we called him Foxy, he decided to throw this big old pile of papers and dried cardboard that he had found onto the fire. Now, that took up really fast, and the sparks started drifting into the air, and some of those sparks landed on the couch, and woof, that lit up really fast. So now, we're running around not knowing what to do, and Foxy and the rest of the guys, they left. I ran to the payphone in the parking lot and called 911. I also stayed until the fire department came. The police were with them, and they took me in. I told them what happened. My father had to come and make bail for me. A month later, I was in the courtroom. Here's the weird part, Mark. When I got into the courtroom, I remembered the vision from Isaiah 6 about God's throne room. I don't even remember where I heard it from. That courtroom was huge to me. I mean, it wasn't a gym or a theater. But it was bigger than any other just room I had been in. The lights were made to look like torches, and there were angels carved into the corners, you know, the little cherub kind. And the judge was there in his robes. And while I knew that he wasn't God, I also knew that he held my life in his hands. He talked with me, listened to me, recognized that I had called it in and had stayed there. So I was sentenced to 28 hours of community service and a check-in with him, the judge, every 3 months for at least a year. He then told me that he knew of an opportunity for my community service. He said that his church was doing a vacation Bible school at the end of June and they needed help. He would consider my community service done if I was willing to help with the vacation Bible school. Now, my family wasn't really churchgoers, Mark. I had been there through the years for Christmas and stuff. My cousins went more than we did. But this vacation Bible school thing sounded a whole lot better than picking up trash along the highway or scrubbing toilets at the county parks. And so I said, yes. And that was all it took. I had so much fun doing VBS that year. I discovered things about myself, about church, about God that year that I had never expected. When I went to talk with the judge the very first time, he told me that I was welcome back to his church on any Sunday. And so I came. I got more excited by what God was doing than at my last check-in with the judge. I told him I was thinking about becoming a pastor. He looked happier than anyone I had ever seen before. Now, my family thought I was crazy, but I kept at it. And you know, the judge was actually at my ordination service. You see, Mark, I too had a shady past, and God still wanted to work with the likes of me. God has never been picky about who he is willing to work with. God doesn't expect us to be perfect because God just wants to work with us, alongside us. Isaiah said he had unclean lips. Simon called himself a sinner when he first met Jesus. Zacchaeus was a cheat. Paul persecuted Christians. And it didn't matter. God called all of them. Now, Mark, I'm not God, and I'm not asking you to be a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet. I do want you to consider talking with the catechism class because I think you can be good for them. I know that I find grace in your story. Mark looked at Pastor Brad and he said, you know, thanks for telling me that story. I guess I'd always thought that you were always just a church-going goody-goody. I guess I think that most pastors are like that, but that can't be so, can it? God does choose some unsavory sorts, and the gospel still gets around. I guess I'll think about it, Pastor. Can you tell me more about what it is that you want me to do? And so Pastor Brad and Mark talked for a while about the class and what Brad was hoping that Mark could do for them. You see, in the last couple of weeks, we have been listening to Jesus as he proclaims his mission statement, telling us that he has come to proclaim release and freedom, to grant sight and forgiveness. And in today's gospel, we see him begin to call his first followers. And who gets called? Is it the rabbi from the synagogue? No. Is it the leaders in the town? No. It's Simon, a fisherman who hadn't caught a thing the night before. Jesus doesn't care how successful he is or not, at least not at fishing for fish. Jesus calls Simon to come and to help him catch people in the net that is God's love. It doesn't matter to Jesus that Simon confesses that he's a sinner. God's love takes care of that. So who gets called? We all do. We get called every day. Jesus calls us to follow him, to love our neighbors, to care for strangers, to help the hungry, the homeless, the addicted, and the recovering. Jesus knows that we are sinners. Jesus knows that we don't always feel qualified or useful, but God wants to work with us, with all of us, to make this world more and more beautiful. You see, it doesn't start with us. It starts with God. God knows that this world needs the love and care, needs to hear the message. And so God chooses us. Just like God chose Isaiah or Simon, God chooses us. And then, if like with Simon or Isaiah, we need forgiveness, God forgives. If we need strength and guidance, God provides it. If we need helpers and partners, God calls them. That is, God calls all of us just as well. You see, we are called to be followers of Jesus, to be disciples of Christ our Lord. We get to be the body of Christ. Whether we feel worthy or not, Jesus calls us. so that our faith may grow, so that we will bear fruit, so that God's love might work through us to make even a little piece of this world beautiful. Who gets called? We do. So let's get going. Amen.